yes, I'm back, and right now I'm going to do another round of the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, including Animation Lookback and Animat's Reviews. Now, if this is your first time here inside the Animation Podcast, you will see that hopefully you will have a lot of fun hearing me talking about the latest news that happened this week in animation, and maybe for the future you will come back for more. But for today, what you're about to hear in this episode, what I'm going to be going into is going to start things off with Trollhunters and how apparently it's only one part of a big story that Guillermo del Toro wants to tell us. Then afterwards, we will be looking at the brand new trailer of the upcoming animated feature Sherlock Gnomes. Then we are going to be going back to Guillermo del Toro with, unfortunately, some sad news that we have another project that we would be anticipated for, but unfortunately, it's actually canceled. Then afterwards, we will be looking into a specific Simpsons character where, for once, he actually affected our modern pop culture in a rather negative way. And finally, we will end things off with Animat's Pick of the Week. Now, if you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then head on down to Filmbook, which is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast. You can also go and email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. And for our first story right over here, I just want to say right now that when it comes to me personally, it would actually be very rare that I would be excited for new episodes of a TV show to come out. Well, at least it's rare for me nowadays. Since if you guys know me, then you probably know that I am more of a movies guy, that I would pay more attention to what's happening in the film industry more so than in the television industry. But honestly, I actually watched this one not a few months ago, but a little while back, back when this was still new on Netflix, and I immediately got hooked. It really was such an amazing series. I've always been recommended by my friends for it, and it really is worth checking out. And now we actually got the trailer for the next season of it, and I couldn't be more excited, but apparently that's only part of the story. So what happened was that Netflix actually released a brand new trailer of season 2 of Guillermo del Toro's Trollhunters, or as it's somehow called, Trollhunters Part 2, where we are going to be looking into the next part of the Netflix series Trollhunters and what happened beforehand. Now, before I really get into this trailer, I just want to mention right now that this will contain some spoilers from the first season of Trollhunters. So if you haven't seen the series as of yet and you really want to and you want to avoid spoilers, then I recommend skipping ahead a little bit. So I might go into some territory that might actually spoil a few things for those who haven't seen it but want to see it. So apparently in this trailer, what it's trying to show is basically a continuation of the events of what happened afterwards. Now, if you may recall, at the end of the first season of Trollhunters, we see Jim, Toby, Claire, and all the other characters and all the other good trolls. They're pretty much fighting off against the Gum Gums, and Jim would go and ultimately defeat the big villain of the first, like the big villain that was leading the Gum Gums. Not the big one, but at least the son of him. I honestly kind of forgot at this point what his name is, but he's pretty much gone now. He is out of the picture. But after everything, after Jim actually did get rid of all the Gum Gums and along with his friends, his friends also helped him out as well, Jim would go into the Darklands so that he can go and ultimately face off the big villain of this entire series, which is Gunmar. And we see that he has like this new outfit, and it really did leave us with a cliffhanger. And what the trailer did show us is going to be a little bit of a continuation of what happens. And we do see that Jim is still going to be hanging out with his friends. And, you know, like, he's not going to go through it alone, but we see that the stakes are also going to be higher. That Gunmar and his Gum-Gums are going to be ready to go and pretty much get out of the troll world and enter upon Arcadia and really wreak havoc. Like, he's going to bring down an entire apocalypse onto Arcadia. And with that said, basically, it did hint to us that we could be seeing the big battle that we have all been waiting for this whole time of Jim versus Gunmar. But at the same time, we also see that there is going to be some action with the other characters as well. Like, we see Toby ready with his hammer. We also see Claire ready for battle. We also see Blinky that's always on Jim's side and giving him support. But also, the biggest surprise that we see in this is actually the return of Arg. Now, at the end of the first season of Trollhunters, we actually see him as the character that offered himself as the big sacrifice. Like, he ultimately got turned into stone. But apparently, what we see with part two, he's actually okay. He's fine. It's almost as if nothing really happened. Now, the trailer itself didn't really specify how Arg did return back to life, but who knows? Like, I'm definitely certain that, one of the first episodes of part two will explain how Arg did come back, but yeah, apparently that's one of the big things, is that we are going to see the return of Arg, which is definitely a pleasant surprise for many Trollhunters fans like myself. But yeah, this is really hinting out that there's going to be a pretty big battle. I think that's kind of like the big promise that we're going to have, is that not only is Trollhunters coming back, but we see that the stakes are going to be really higher. However, what I want to say about all this regarding this trailer is that this is not really the big story that has been announced regarding Trollhunters. That's not really the big thing. In fact, this trailer actually was released a week ago, at least by the time that I am recording this. Now, the real big story about what Trollhunters is all about is that apparently Guillermo del Toro actually made the announcement that everything that you see what's happening with Trollhunters, that's only one part of a major story. That's only one chapter of this big tale that he wants to get into. Now, the big franchise of all this is not Trollhunters. The big franchise that Guillermo del Toro wants to talk about is actually called Tales of Arcadia. And he revealed that part two of Trollhunters is actually just the first chapter of a big trilogy that he wants to do. So his big plan with Tales of Arcadia is that Trollhunters is going to be, or like part two of Trollhunters is the first of a trilogy that's going to be connecting three different other animated series in order to tell this one big story of Tales of Arcadia. So what we're going to see in Trollhunters Part 2 is that one of the nerdy characters of Trollhunters, like, he's not the main character, it's not Toby that I'm talking about. It's like, it's hard to explain him. Like, in the series, he's more like a side character that's always this nerdy type of guy, you know, kind of a little bit of like the nerd stereotype. But apparently in Part 2, he could be having a he could have a major role in Trollhunters Part 2, where now he's starting to see the connections between all the paranormal activity of what's going on in Arcadia, almost as if Arcadia is suddenly becoming Gravity Falls or something like that. And he's starting to really connect that apparently there's not just troll activity that's happening in Arcadia, but also apparently there's alien activity and wizard activity. So the three series that Guillermo del Toro has planned for Tales of Arcadia, we already know about Troll Hunters, but there's also going to be two others. One of them is going to be called Three Below, which is going to highlight aliens. And then there's going to be another one, which is called Wizards, which is going to present a lot of Ralph Bakshi imagery trying to tell you that it's a family picture. No, I'm just kidding. Wizards, of course, is going to show wizards. And if I may go into my source here on Slash Film, it pretty much describes what these new songs, not these new songs, what these new series are going to be about. Now, Three Below will focus on two royal teenage aliens and their bodyguard who flee a surprise takeover of their home planet by an evil dictator and crash land in Arcadia. Now on the run from intergalactic bounty hunters, they struggle to blend in and adapt to the bizarre world of high school, all the while attempting to repair their ship so they can return and defend their home planet. So that's Three Below. And then you got Wizards, will then bring together the world of trolls, aliens, and wizards who all are hiding out in Arcadia. This final chapter of the Tales of Arcadia trilogy will involve an apocalyptic battle for the control of magic, a battle that will determine the fate of various supernatural worlds established throughout the trilogy. And these series are going to be coming out one year after another. Like this year, we're going to get part two of Troll Hunters. Then 2018, we're going to get Three Below. And then in 2019, we're going to get Wizards, in which is going to be the grand finale. So basically the whole thing is that with Three Below, that one is going to be a spiritual successor, where we're going to take a break from seeing the adventures of Jim, Toby, Claire, Blinky, and Arg. And we're going to go into another aspect in Arcadia where we're going to see a bunch of aliens living, you know, trying to live what would seem like the human definition of a normal life, and all in the while just trying to go and repair their ship. Meanwhile, Wizards is going to be coming in, and that's going to be the grand finale that will finish everything off, where we're going to see the characters of Troll Hunters, Three Below, and some new characters from Wizards, where they're all going to join together and have this ultimate battle. Now, rather if the big ultimate villain of Tales of Arcadia is going to be Gunmar, that is remain to be seen, but it actually does seem very fascinating, and it does give us an idea of, like, the entire plan of what Guillermo del Toro wants to do. Like, It really is fascinating the way that, like, his imagination for this entire series goes beyond of what Troll Hunters is, because now we're also going to be including elements of aliens and also wizards. So, in a way, it's kind of like a combination of so many different genres morphed into one. I mean, of course, you got sci-fi with the aliens with Three Below, and then also you got fantasy with wizards. Trolls, I mean, like, when you do think about it, I guess that one, like, technically you could fit it in many different categories. I mean, yeah, sure, it's more fantasy, but I guess, like, if we really need to categorize them in something, then maybe they would be more into the fantasy adventure. Like, they would be more adventure, in a sense. I mean, yeah, they're all fantasy-oriented, but probably Trolls is the one that really does emphasize on the fantasy aspect, where they're on a bit, you know, like where you got Jim that's on a big mission to really save all of trolldom. And there is actually one big thing that I want to mention, and this is something that I discussed with my friends about, and they are actually showing major concerns, especially regarding the future of what's going to happen with this entire franchise right over here of Tales of Arcadia, is actually regarding the star Anton Yelchin. Now, we know that technically, very unfortunately, Anton Yelchin did pass away, but apparently this is going to be his final performance right over here with part two of Troll Hunters. This is going to be the last time we will hear him playing the role as Jim. And the question still remains, what's going to happen in the future? Now, maybe not necessarily with Three Below, because, yeah, like with Three Below, you can get away with making the entire series without actually showing Jim in particular. But then when Wizards is going to come in and they want to do the ultimate grand finale, that's when you would have to be a little bit in an emergency to actually find someone to go and find, you know, at least find an Anton Yelchin impersonator. Now, it could be possible that they have already found someone who sounds like Anton Yelchin, and we could be hearing him a little bit in Troll Hunters Part 2, where, you know, they could do a little bit something similar to the veins of, like, I'm trying to think of a good example. Like, maybe Jetsons the Movie or something like that, where they would have to find a new person to dub the voice of Jim in order to at least sound like the character. So that's honestly the one concern, but honestly, that's kind of a problem that we'll have to wait and see full, like, entirely bloom onto Wizards. But for now, we will have Troll Hunters Part 2, and it will still have Anton Yelchin. But yeah, that's kind of like the whole plan that's going to be happening with this entire series. Not, well, not just entire series, but this entire franchise. It's not just Troll Hunters. We're also going to get Three Below and also Wizards in order to tell this big story of Tales of Arcadia. So, if you guys are excited to check out these TV shows, then all you have to do is just wait until December 15th for the release of Troll Hunters Part 2. And then afterwards, you gotta wait until 2018 for the release of Three Below with the Aliens. And then for the grand finale with Wizards coming out in 2019. Okay, so for our next story right over here, we actually got a brand new trailer to one of the upcoming animated features that will be coming out in 2018. But if I could be very honest, this is one of those things that I am a little bit confused about just its mere existence alone, or at least just the concept of what this is. And before I would give my thoughts onto the trailer, I want to get into my thoughts onto why does this thing exist. But beforehand, let me tell you a little bit of what I'm even talking about in the first place, which is Sherlock Gnomes, which is the upcoming animated feature that will be the sequel to the 2011 film Romeo and Juliet. And in the trailer right over here, what seems to be the story that it's trying to tell us is that Romeo and Juliet and all the other garden gnomes, they moved into a brand new home and a brand new garden. So life seems to be going fine. It seems to be going pretty cool for all the gnomes. But then suddenly there's this one person who kidnapped all the garden gnomes, with the exception of, coincidentally enough, Romeo and Juliet. So this is where our new main characters come in, where we got the garden gnome equivalent of Sherlock Holmes and Watson. While these two characters, and of course with Romeo and Juliet, now they have to go work together in order to find out the mystery of whatever happened to the garden gnomes, and on top of that, try to figure out why have they been captured in the first place. Which it looks like is going to be for malicious intent. Like, they are hinting that apparently the purpose could be that, oh, they're going to be destroyed. Like, they'll be smashed bit to bits. You know, like, every single one of them is gonna get, well, the garden gnome equivalent of getting killed, basically. And honestly, I just want to talk to you guys for a moment about just the mere idea that we actually have a sequel to Romeo and Juliet. And honestly, I'm kind of sharing the same feelings like what I had with this year's Nut Job 2, Nutty by Nature. Now, I'm not saying that I have the same feelings like I look at the trailer and I immediately think that this is going to suck no matter what. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying more is that I look at this And I can't help but think to myself, was there anybody that really demanded a sequel to Romeo and Juliet? Now, I'm not saying that Romeo and Juliet is a bad movie, per se. Personally, I do find it to be okay. You know, it's not really that good, but it's not bad either. It's just something that actually does exist. But not only does it exist, it feels like a movie that's meant to be a thing of its own. It's meant to be just one of a kind, not really meant to be like this entire franchise. I mean, what we're talking about is this modern, mainstream, family-friendly animated feature that's telling its own version of William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, and the theme is all with garden gnomes. That's basically the whole idea. Oh, and to add in more uniqueness onto this movie, the soundtrack is entirely covered by nothing but Elton John songs. I mean, yeah, Elton John is an executive producer, or at least just a producer of Romeo and Juliet, but you listen to the soundtrack and you just hear like spots of Elton John songs here and there. Like literally, like you would hear Crocodile Rock, you would hear Rocket Man, you would hear all these different songs here and there. And it's the same thing with the trailer right over here with Sherlock Gnomes, where you hear the soundtrack of I'm Still Standing. So just this idea that we now have a sequel of Romeo and Juliet 7 years after the movie was released, it's almost mind-boggling in a way, because I still gotta ask, who is it that really demanded to have a sequel to Romeo and Juliet? And not just that, have a sequel where it's entirely based on Sherlock Holmes instead of going into another William Shakespeare story. I mean, that would make sense considering that the first one is entirely based on Romeo and Juliet. Like, you'd think, like, the sequel would probably get into a type of story in the veins of, like, A Midsummer Night's Dream, or Hamlet, or Othello, or Richard III, or something like that. But no, they decided to go into Sherlock Holmes. Why? Because apparently both authors of the original story are British. That's the only connection that I can honestly think of, and that's it. And I just feel like with this, it's pretty much like many of the other projects that we have this year, where they're basically just properties that are trying to be franchises, but shouldn't even be a franchise. And I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about when I say that, because we have had a whole bunch of them in 2017 of things that, you know, the companies are really trying to push to make a franchise out of, but it's demanded by nobody, nobody cares about it, and there are things that overall, they shouldn't even be franchises in the first place. And some examples that I can think of include a sequel to Surf's Up that has wrestlers, a Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs TV series, and also a sequel to The Nut Job. I mean, is there anybody that seriously demanded these things to really come to life? And that's kind of the feeling that I have with this. It's like, you know, Romeo and Juliet didn't really make that much of an impact in pop culture, so why do we really need to make a sequel out of it? Why do we need another Romeo and Juliet? Honestly, that just feels like you're trying to make a franchise out of something that doesn't need to be a franchise. Honestly, that just doesn't make sense. But that's honestly my opinion just on the whole idea of having a sequel to Romeo and Juliet in general. Now, let's go back to actually focus on talking about this trailer that we have, the trailer to Sherlock Holmes. Is it any good? Does it prove to us that we do need a sequel to Romeo and Juliet, which goes into the story of Sherlock Holmes? And honestly, oh boy, I honestly don't know, because the one thing that I will say, after looking at this trailer, I was left confused. Like, really, like, I don't really see the point of this existing, and I don't really see the point of why people are really desperate to go and see this. Like, I don't really see the key points of how people are going to be so entranced by this, and they're going to be like, oh my god, I gotta see this ASAP. I mean, of course, Sherlock Gnomes does have a pretty big all-star cast. I mean, that's one of the big things about Romeo and Juliet, is that it does have some recognizable names among the voice cast. I mean, of course, you do have Maggie Smith, Michael Caine, you got James McAvoy and Emily Blunt returning to their original roles. But then you also got the new people, which are actually voiced by other major celebrities, including Mary J. Blige as Irene. You got Johnny Depp playing as Sherlock Gnomes. And you also got Chiwetel Ejiofor playing as Watson, which, by the way, with Ejiofor, you might know him more as Future Scar. And looking into the trailer itself, it's just like, I don't know who is it really aiming for. Like, it feels like it's really trying to be just for kids, but like, even at that, the jokes aren't really that good, even for kids. It's just like, honestly, the jokes that they're trying to pull off, I could see where they could be funny, but then again, like, they would end up screwing it up. Like, the first big joke that they have is that they brought back the gnome with the mankini. That's probably one of the popular images that ever came out of Romeo and Juliet, is that you got this little garden gnome that's wearing a Borat-style swimsuit. And apparently, he jumped into this mud pile, and it would have been fine if, like, he would jump into it and then slowly sink in and just go, I'm okay, but then it would just suddenly continue, and they decided to add in some fart jokes. Like, they really left that joke going for a long time to the point that it's no longer funny, and they have to throw in some random toilet humor just because. It's like, okay, why did you even do that? But then at the same time, they also left off some pretty dumb and obvious jokes. Like, these are the kind that, of course, they would make a joke like that. Where, like, there's this one time where you actually see Sherlock Gnomes actually looking out, and he thinks that, okay, so for this mission, now we need a ship. And then you actually got Romeo coming in. Yeah, no ship, Sherlock. Get it? It's funny because the T is replaced with the P. You know, like, they're making dumb, obvious jokes like that. And on top of that, coincidentally, speaking of the nut job, there's actually one scene where Juliet and Sherlock Gnomes have to disguise themselves as squirrels in order to go public in the outside world while moving. And then suddenly they would be chased by this pug and then discuss about, you gotta go and move your butt like this. And honestly, like, that thing was almost unbearable for me because I've already had my fill of stupid nut job stuff, especially after the sequel. I don't need any more. I mean, like, please stop teaming up pugs and squirrels. Like, just, I want to move on for the whole nut job thing. Let that thing die, for God's sakes. But yeah, I think that's kind of my biggest problem with the trailer, is that the jokes really do suck. But if I may point out something at least positive about this trailer, if there is actually something good, is that at the very least, I could say that the animation does look pretty nice. Like, you could see that there is a bit of an evolution in terms of what they did with the animation, and that's probably the best thing that I could actually say regarding Romeo and Juliet, and also what I'm seeing right here with Sherlock Gnomes, is that it really does have some great animation. And they really do look like legitimate garden gnomes that are coming to life. But then when you see this, you do see that there is a bit of an evolution. That time has certainly passed where technology has become greater and they would go and polish the details to make these characters look more convincing as garden gnomes. And honestly, Like, it, you know, as visually pleasing as it is, I think it's more in terms of the writing. That doesn't seem that appealing. But then again, I do want to try to give this the benefit of a doubt. I'm not expecting this to be great or anything, but I do have a feeling that there is a good chance that the movie itself could end up looking better than what the trailer is presenting. Because honestly, from what I see, I feel more like it's just the trailer that sucks. Like, honestly, this whole thing that the trailer is executing to us, you know, it's honestly kind of stupid. And if it weren't for me reviewing animated features and stuff like that, I would not be interested in watching this movie at all. Like, I honestly don't give a crap. So, personally, I do feel like this is a problem that the trailer is bad at selling us this movie more so than what the movie is in itself. There could be a chance that it could actually turn out good, but it's more the case that this movie in particular kind of sucks. So, I don't know. It's just that I'm not entirely convinced. I'm not entirely sold with this idea of Romeo and Juliet. But honestly, I'll just have to wait and see. I want, like, honestly, for the sake of this movie, I do want to give it an open mind. Like I said, I do find the first movie to be okay, and maybe this one could be okay as well. But who knows? Maybe it could turn out a lot better than what the trailer is showing us, or maybe it is as bad as what the trailer is showing us. I mean, who knows? We'll just have to wait and see how this goes. But yeah, overall, my thoughts, I would say that, yeah, the trailer sucks. It makes the movie look stupid, but maybe the movie is actually better than what we're seeing. But if you guys are actually interested in checking out what Sherlock Gnomes actually has in store, much more than what the trailer is showing us, then all you have to do is just wait until the movie will be released in March of 2018. Or I think it's in March, but I know it's in early 2018. It's somewhere in that area. Now, for our next story right over here, unfortunately, we got some bad news. Now, we are going back to Guillermo del Toro, but let me tell you something about Guillermo del Toro that he is pretty well known for. Now, of course, we know him as the acclaimed director who has created some amazing movies that are both visually stunning and very creative in terms of the writing. And I'm talking about movies like Pan's Labyrinth, the Hellboy films, Pacific Rim, and just recently, The Shape of Water, which has recently been getting so much praise right now. But at the same time, he is also very well known for having great ideas, something that people can get really hyped up for, but they end up not happening. Like, they would end up just being canceled, and Guillermo del Toro just couldn't be able to go and make them. And sadly, we got a new one on that list, and I'm talking about Pinocchio. Now, if you guys don't know, Guillermo del Toro was originally planning for years to create a stop-motion animated feature of Pinocchio, but this one would be a little bit more of a unique twist, where in this one, the design would be inspired by the illustrations by Gris Grimley, and it would actually have a more unique take on the story, where it's more of an anti-fascist story, where it would be entirely set during the uprising of Mussolini during World War II. And last time I talked about this, Guillermo del Toro was originally looking for $35 million in order to bring this movie to life. And also, on top of that, it's technically not Guillermo del Toro himself that's going to be creating this whole movie. One of his co-writers is actually the creator of Over the Garden Wall, Patrick McHale. But sadly, it looks like it's just not going to be happening in general. When Guillermo del Toro was interviewed with IGN, he actually stated that it's not happening. But the idea was to do Pinocchio during the accession of fascism in Italy with Mussolini. It was a good time to discuss the idea of being a puppet or being human. But, you know, it's not in progress. And one of the main reasons why he's actually not doing this, It's not just because, like, he couldn't find the financing to actually go and create this movie, but it's also mainly because he wants to take a break from filmmaking in general. Like, after The Shape of Water, he wants to go and just take a break from making movies for at least just 1 year. And from there, he actually stated that, "I'm 53. I want to not know what I'm doing next. It's like a privilege. That's why I'm taking the year off as a director to really think about what I'm doing next. All of those projects, some of them happen and some of them don't. The natural state of a movie is not to happen. That's the reality." So that's kind of the whole thing of what's happening with Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, is that sadly it's not really happening, and one of the main reasons, or maybe the main reason, is because Guillermo del Toro just wants to take a break from making movies in general. And now Pinocchio is pretty much now on this big list of movies that Guillermo del Toro said that he wanted to make, but are sadly just not happening. And these movies would include a Hellboy 3, and there's also Justice League Dark. There's also a film adaptation of Halo, and there's also a remake of Disney's The Haunted Mansion to make it more based on the ride and have a little bit less of that Eddie Murphy crap that was in the first one. And then there was also At the Mountain of Madness. So sadly, Guillermo del Toro has that giant list of movies that people would be so excited to go and check out, but sadly, they're just not happening. And it really is too bad because, as someone who is a fan of Guillermo del Toro's works, again, like I mentioned how I really like Troll Hunters, it's a fantastic series, and even though he's not technically the director, it did come from the mind of Guillermo del Toro, and I do love all his other films as well, like with the Hellboy films and Pan's Labyrinth. And on top of that, like, I know his involvement with other animated features as well. Like, he is an executive producer for films like The Book of Life, Rise of the Guardians, Kung Fu Panda 2, and also Puss in Boots. And, like, these are pretty fantastic films right over there. And for once, I would have loved to actually see Guillermo del Toro actually getting his hands directly onto animation, you know, actually have a Guillermo del Toro directed animated feature. It would have been awesome, and Pinocchio would have been that gateway, you know, like, this Pinocchio would have been like what Fantastic Mr. Fox was to Wes Anderson. Like, we would have had a great visionary director enter upon the realm of animation, but sadly, this thing ain't happening. And I can also understand as well that a lot of people are discussing about the complications of what would happen if Guillermo del Toro does bring this Pinocchio onto the world, and there would be one company that would try to overshadow it as much as it can in order for their image of Pinocchio to stay alive, which is Disney. And we know that there would always be this awkward, confrontation where we would see that awkward moment where people would have no choice but to make comparisons with Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio with Walt Disney's Pinocchio. And that would be an entire piece of trouble right over there. That would be like an entire piece of controversy where we have that vision of Pinocchio and we got Disney trying to make sure that Pinocchio image is still alive while Guillermo del Toro is kind of doing his own thing with the anti-fascist Pinocchio. And honestly, we would have that big battle going on, and it would be a little bit of a mess, you know? It would kind of be like what we've recently have seen with The Book of Life versus Coco. It's kind of like the battle of two movies where they shouldn't even fight in the first place, and the people who made them aren't even fighting. They're like good friends. So, honestly, yeah, like, in a way, you could see you could see this as dodging a bullet right over there, but it is too bad that this is one of the many projects that had to be canceled from Guillermo del Toro. I was legitimately excited to see what would he have in store with this, especially with the strange design of Gris Grimley, considering that When it comes to Gris Grimley, he's kind of like the spiritual successor of Tim Burton, where he kind of embraces the whimsy and macabre, but he does have his own unique style that does separate himself a little bit from Tim Burton. And seeing that weird style incorporated into stop motion, it would have been great. But again, it's not gonna happen, and it does kind of suck in a sense. And, you know, it is also kind of sad also that we have to see Guillermo del Toro taking a break from movies in general, where it seems like it is possible that maybe it's 2018 as a whole, where Guillermo del Toro is not going to be making movies at all. So we don't know if, during that time, if he's going to think up of new ideas or he's just going to be, taking a full-on vacation. But, you know, I am going to miss Guillermo del Toro a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, it is sad news, but, I mean, stuff like this happens. I mean, projects often get canceled, especially when it comes to Guillermo del Toro. So, yeah, honestly, it sucks, but, hey, it does seem like a pretty neat idea. So, who knows what the future holds, but I guess we're just going to put Pinocchio on the pile of Guillermo del Toro's canceled projects. Now, for our next story, we're going to be looking into a documentary about a Simpsons character. Now, what is interesting about this one, though, is that this is going to be one of the side characters from The Simpsons. Like, this documentary isn't really going to be focusing on Homer or on Marge or Lisa or Bart or Maggie. We're just going to be looking into one of the residents of Springfield and how there are some people who are actually not too happy with his portrayal in the show and how it actually did affect their lives in a rather negative way. And the documentary that I am talking about is actually going to be something that is called The Problem with Apu. And to go into my source here, which is on IndieWire, it actually stated right over here. Through a few decades and 600 episodes of The Simpsons, the convenience store owner Apu Nahasapima Petilon has transformed an unfortunate stereotype into the basis for South Asian representation on television. In this new documentary, comedian Hari Kondabolu, which, by the way, I sincerely apologize. I will say that I am so sorry right now, but I'm going to be butchering some names right now, and it's just because of my stupid white self, so I'm sorry right over there. Comedian Hari Kondabolu explores the blatant racist portrayal that it has been so generally accepted for the past 30 years. In a clip for the upcoming True TV documentary, The Problem with Apu, Kondabolu and actor Utkarsh Ambudkar discuss the impact Apu had on them growing up. The consequences derived from Apu are devastating, specifically because there were no positive images of South Asians at the time of his debut to combat his flaws. So basically, what it's pretty much talking about is that Apu, at the time when The Simpsons was big, was pretty much the only South Asian portrayal that television had. And people pretty much accepted, and they didn't really think about the negative consequences that it would have to real South Asians. And looking into this clip that it would go and discuss about the negative impact that Apu would have to people, it would pretty much talk about how back then, there really isn't a lot of actors that would be pretty popular right now. Like, they didn't have popular South Asian actors. Like, there was no Mindy Kaling. There was no Dev Patel. There was no Aziz Ansari. You know, they don't have those people. The only one that they really do have is actually just Apu. And that's pretty much it. And yeah, honestly, when you do think about it, when you do think about Apu as a character, like, even with me, it wasn't until I saw this article right over here when I do realize, yeah, I mean, Apu does seem like a pretty bad stereotype, you know? Like, yeah, he does seem like a pretty bad character to actually create, because really think about who is Apu. Like, when you have to think about who this guy is, like, for me, the only thing that pops up in my head is that, "My name is Apu Nahasa Pima Petalon. I am the convenience store owner of the Quickie Mart at Springfield. I am also an immigrant that moved to America to open my own convenience store. And my most popular catchphrase is, 'Thank you, come again.'" Like, yeah, that's a pretty nasty stereotype right over there. That definitely is something that wouldn't fly in this modern age. But honestly, when thinking about this whole stereotypical portrayal with Apu and that entire controversy right over there, I do feel like the problem is actually much bigger than just stereotyping or Apu or racism or anything like that. It's not just a factor about Apu, but it's more a factor about The Simpsons in general. For me, honestly, my opinion about this controversy is that we need Apu as much as we need new episodes of The Simpsons. Because with this documentary coming out, I think it really does reveal that when it comes to The Simpsons, it really is starting to become a dated show. And what I mean by dated is that even though it does try to really modernize itself, to still get with the times while it's still airing new episodes on television, you could tell that the core, the foundation that The Simpsons built itself upon, it's really starting to show its age, and it really is starting to be a little bit dated. And with that said, like, when you do think of those aspects, it really is telling why is it that people pretty much accepted Apu with no problem, because he was okay at the time. It was during that period when people thought Apu is an okay character, and they decided to accept them in our modern, in pop culture in general. Because here's the thing, I have two reasons why people believed it was okay to have Apu at the time. Because, number one, during the period when The Simpsons was really big in the 90s and debatably in the early 2000s, racial profiling for every ethnicity wasn't really that big of an issue. Like, of course, there are some of them, like, that we have to be very cautious about, and even at the time they still had to be very cautious. Like, we got to make sure we don't have like the stereotypical African American appearing on television, or just have some dumb white guy wearing blackface or something like that. Like, that thing is still not allowed. But for every ethnicity, it's not really that much of a top priority. Like, when someone would look at Apu and he's just walking around as this stereotypical South Asian, people would look at this thinking like, maybe it's not gonna fly, but it doesn't seem like that much of a problem. It seems harmless, so I'm gonna give it a pass. So that's kind of reason number one, because it wasn't that big of an issue at the time compared to how it is nowadays. And number two is actually because of the love for The Simpsons at the time, because at its prime, everybody loved The Simpsons so much that when they look into all the new characters, every single character that would appear in the show, they don't look at them like they're cartoon characters. They would look at them as legitimate residents of Springfield that has a specific function in society. And when they look at Apu, they don't think as this stereotype cartoon character. They look at him as the convenience store owner that the Simpsons would frequently come in and visit. And let's be honest, like, including myself, Simpsons fans would have at least one favorite memory with Apu. Like, something that they can look back and they would have a blast with Apu. Rather it be something that would center around Apu, like with an episode, or even the musical moment, like, who needs the Quickie Mart? Like, you know that song, Who Needs the Quickie Mart? Like, a lot of people have their favorite moments with Apu. So that's why they do give him a pass, is that they don't see him as the stereotype that some people would see him as right now. They see him as the convenience store owner. And honestly, at that point, considering that times have changed, it's also the period when comedy has changed as well. Where, what, like, the things that would fly back in the 90s and early 2000s, they wouldn't necessarily fly nowadays. Like, it wouldn't be considered cool. And when you do think about it, if The Simpsons would be released in this day and age, it would actually not last long. There are some jokes in there that would be a little bit dated, and they would be a little bit controversial, where people would not be okay with. And especially when it comes to The Simpsons, like, you know, the thing is, you can argue that, yeah, Apu is a stereotype. Yeah, he's making South Asians look bad. But then again, when it comes to The Simpsons, what the fridge is not a stereotype? Considering that it's been almost 30 years that it's been on television and that they have around 600 episodes, like, they've pretty much made a stereotype out of literally everybody. They've made a stereotype out of every race, out of every religious groups, out of every nationality, out of every ethnicity, out of every type of person out there. Like, you name it, there's a stereotype in there, hands down. So at this point, this is not really an issue about Apu or stereotyping. This is all about The Simpsons as a whole. And that maybe it's up to the point that it has probably been on television for a little too long, and that, you know, maybe we do need to give it a rest now. Like, we just need to leave it as it is, because, it, like, honestly, this documentary really is showing that nowadays, letting The Simpsons continue on TV is starting to do a little bit more damage than actually some good. I mean, sure, it is amazing that The Simpsons has been on television for so long, but honestly, there is a limit. I mean, everybody would go through that age where they feel like, you know, they've grown past The Simpsons and they don't want to watch any more episodes of it. I know I went through that phase, but honestly, yeah, like, that, honestly, with this whole thing, like, we really got to reflect upon, is there any point nowadays to really have The Simpsons be on television? And now, I honestly don't know, but if this keeps on going, then yeah, we gotta let it go sometime soon before it does some real damage. And so finally, we shall now go and end things off with Animat's Pick of the Week. Now for this week, I don't really have an animation news right over here, but this is pretty much the biggest movie news that has been out this week. Now, the news didn't necessarily say a lot, but I will say it will reveal some pretty big things that are going to be happening in the future. And what I'm talking about is actually going to be regarding Star Wars, where Disney actually made the announcement that Rian Johnson is currently at work at Lucasfilm to go and produce, or actually go and create, a new trilogy for Star Wars. Something that is going to be said probably after the current trilogy that we have right now. Now, when it comes to this trilogy, we don't really know what's going on with it. The only thing that we do know is that Rian Johnson, he's pretty much developing this entire trilogy, and he will be the writer and director of the first of that trilogy. And going into my source here on StarWars.com, it's stated that in shepherding this new trilogy, which is separate from the episodic Skywalker saga, Johnson will introduce new characters from a corner of the galaxy that Star Wars lore has never explored before. Now, reading from some quotes here, coming from Kathleen Kennedy, the president of Lucasfilm, she stated, "We all loved working with Rian on The Last Jedi. He's a creative force, and watching him craft The Last Jedi from start to finish was one of the great joys in my career. Rian will do amazing things with the blank canvas of this new trilogy." And Rian Johnson and also producer Ram Bergman is also going to be commenting on this, as he stated that, "We had the time of our lives collaborating with Lucasfilm and Disney on The Last Jedi. Star Wars is the greatest modern mythology, and we feel very lucky to have contributed to it. We can't wait to continue with this new series of films." So that's basically the big idea, is that we're now going to get this brand new Star Wars trilogy, but it's going to be outside of the entire Skywalker story. So that's pretty much all that we know. That and also the fact that the writer and director of The Last Jedi, Rian Johnson, he's going to be in charge of this new trilogy, and he's going to be the writer and director of the first one. And for me personally, and I'm also speaking to this, as a Star Wars fan myself, that honestly, I feel like it's a little too early to feel exciting, or to really feel anything about this news, because I feel like it's just way too early to really know if this is going to be a good thing or if it's going to be a bad thing. And the reason why I say that is mainly because of the involvement of Rian Johnson. And as I'm recording this right now, The Last Jedi has not been released in theaters as of yet. So we don't know if The Last Jedi is actually a major hit, if it's actually really exciting, if it's one of the best Star Wars movies out there, or if it ends up being equally as much of a flop as much as the prequels. We don't really know if we can really fit in that category as of yet. So really, having Rian Johnson involved, we don't know if that's really a good or a bad thing. And I, honestly, I'm not really familiar with Rian Johnson's works, to be honest, so I don't know if he'll actually do something good, especially when it comes to handling with Star Wars. And especially, there's also the factor about what this new trilogy is going to be about. Now, apparently what it's trying to say is that this is not going to be like episode 10, 11, and 12. This is going to be like a brand new trilogy outside of all that. But my question is there still going to be a connection to the story? You know, is there still going to be a connection to the current story that we do have? I mean, yeah, sure, technically, like, there's no connection to, like, Luke or Leia or Han or Chewie or any of those original characters. But will it still have a connection with the new characters that we currently have? Does it have a connection with, with characters like with Finn or with Poe or with Rey? And that's actually another thing that I want to mention, is actually not just regarding the new trilogy, but actually the factor that we still don't really know much about the current trilogy that we have right now. I mean, keep in mind, the most that we have is just the first of this trilogy, which is The Force Awakens, and we only have clips and trailers of the Last Jedi, and literally that's it. We don't really know how deep they're really going into the story. We don't know the real connections that everybody has. We don't know, like, if there are some bigger connections with Rey and some of the other characters. Like, we don't know if there are some major connections with the new characters and the old characters. There's still a lot that we don't know about. So for me, I feel like when it comes to this news, It just feels way too early to feel anything if we know anything regarding about if this is going to be a great idea or not. Mainly because we don't really know if Rian Johnson is actually going to do an amazing job with The Last Jedi. I certainly do hope so. But we don't know, like, if he would really be fit for the job to actually make a brand new trilogy. And we don't really know about the current trilogy that we have. And we don't know if it's really gonna, if that is going to be involved a little bit with this new trilogy, or like what's going on with it. We don't know, like, the real connection, because I mean, it's godforsaken vague when they're saying that, oh, it's going to be outside of the episodic Skywalker saga. It's like, how separate are we going to be? Is it going to be an entire thing of its own where it's just set in the Star Wars universe? Or are we going to see some familiar faces along the way? That I don't know. Is it a good idea? Is it a bad idea? I feel like we're just way too early in this stage of Star Wars to really tell. I mean, you know, I want to be excited from it, but I don't have enough information to know if it's really something that we should be excited for. There's still a lot of major mysteries to unravel with the world of Star Wars. And thankfully, we will know a little bit soon if this is going to be a good idea. I mean, The Last Jedi is going to be coming out pretty soon. But for now, this whole idea of a new trilogy, it's just, okay, you're doing it, but I don't know if that really is a good thing or not. Like, honestly, the biggest clue for now, if this is going to be a good plan or if it's a bad plan, is that we got to wait until The Last Jedi would be released on December 15th of this year. And that is all that I've got for this week, so I just want to say thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can go and find more of my work at film-book.com. All you have to do is search for Matsu Brunette or The Animation Podcast. You can also go and find me on Twitter at animat505. Now, if you have listened to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast service, do you mind doing us a little bit of a favor and rate and review this episode? That would be lovely. And if you are listening to this podcast on YouTube, hit that like button on our video and leave us a comment on your thoughts about the news this week. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening. And until next week, see you later, dude.